Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Gotta get it in there. Welcome to the show, everybody. And we hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. It is 3:04 on the clock. Your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, my pitch hitter here, my main pitch hitter in sports, Seth Habhacker.
Well, hello, everyone.
We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. We're here to talk sports. Phone lines are wide open, and they are working.
They are working now, yeah.
In fact, you can test them out. 715-424-2600. If you're listening to us on the Civic Media app, it is just one touch, and you'll be right to us.
Yes, that's right.
If you're not, download the app, everybody. Mm-hmm. Get a hold of us real quick. Our phone line might be a little bit busy soon here. I'm not sure. We're going to be joined by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckham. Hoping for Coach to be able to join us soon.
Yep.
So if he is not here, then he is busy.
I'm sure there's something going on, yeah.
Yeah, because he loves being here with us. And yep. He makes plans, he keeps them. Mm-hmm. That is a man. And I know this about him without even knowing him. I know hockey coaches. There are a few things I know in this world. Like I know hockey players and coaches, mm-hmm. and they are not late. Period. So if they're not here, something else is going on.
That's right.
Certainly hope that he's doing well and looking mm-hmm. forward to talking some River Kings hockey. You've got 18 days, 4 hours until the River Kings home opener right here in Rapids.
Wow, November 10th. That's coming up so fast, man.
Join us at the Southfield County Rec Center for River Kings hockey all season long.
Yep.
Looking forward to it. And of course, our sister station WIRI 105.5 going to be playing home games.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
It's fun. It's fun. River Kings right now, first in the standings.
Oh, whoa.
Right now, as far as only 12 games being
played.
Yeah,
right.
Want to be able to talk to Coach about that and some other things. But, it's exciting already where this season has started.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but excitement to talk about today because there is sports. And it's your show, so you guys go ahead and direct. Mm-hmm. Let us know. Where do you want us to go with the show? You want to talk baseball, football, basketball, college? We are here to do it.
This is the couple weeks where every sport is still going on at the same time.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Oh, I
mean,
we
got to that point. So, yeah.
I like to do this show myself. And Seth and I were actually talking about this in the pregame a little bit. We're going to have all season to talk, a lot more football. We're going to have plenty of time to talk basketball.
Right.
We will touch on those subjects. But right now, baseball is wrapping up. We've got less than a couple of... I said to Seth, we got a month left. He goes, we got weeks.
We just got a couple weeks here. Going into the first November, yeah.
When we have time, I do want to talk some baseball playoffs. But first, let's talk to you. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
How's it going?
James, you're wearing off on me.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's on me. That's my fault. I apologize. You should talk to your doctor. You should definitely know. What's on your mind today,
bud? Jamesitis is what it is.
Yes, it's Jamesitis. Oh, that sounds horrible. That's
well, you know, it was kind of an interesting weekend, in sports. With the Badgers, the way they played and they come up with a win, the Packers can't play a whole game at all. They like to play a half a game. Got Badger hockey sweeping number 6 or 17 Michigan Tech.
Yes,
that was
weekend.
Impressive. Yeah.
Although the volleyball team lost, but they lost to number 2, so they probably just going to flip spot
yeah.
there
yeah.
between
mm-hmm.
Nebraska and Wisconsin. But I kind of want to talk about the Badgers because that Braden Cook, not bad.
Yeah.
He's got to learn to tone down his throwing arm, though, when you got guys 5 yards away and you're throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah. You don't see that as a problem for quarterbacks very often.
They're throwing too hard?
Yeah. So there it used to be back in the day. I remember there was some kind of like one of those Wide World of Sports kind of segments back in the day where they were showing like Elway, Marino, and all these guys, and they were interviewing their receivers. And it's the only time to this day I've ever heard Mark Clayton talk, old wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
And they show their hands. And I think it was Clayton that was saying he doesn't wear gloves to catch the ball. It's because Marino throws so hard, and he was a slot guy.
Yep.
It, the gloves, the little bit of padding helped. Like you don't see that problem with new quarterbacks very often. It's an interesting, but it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Well, it is a good problem to have, but like I said, when you're trying to get short downs and distance, and you just need to get a couple yards, and you got the quarterback throwing the ball as hard as he can.
Yeah.
Especially at the college level, but. You bring that up, even the receivers with Favre. I mean, how many times did that Sterling Sharpe say that had marks on his arms or in his stomach of the football because and how hard that fire threw the ball. But overall, I thought, our defense is still not good. I mean, seeing the point spread for next week already, they got Ohio State favored by 14 to the Badgers at home. I hope that defense shows up next week because...
Yeah. I wouldn't have left
Champ... Harrison Jr., I watched that game too against Ohio State. God. Penn State. Oh, it was...
There's a lot of good quarterbacks in college football right now. I don't believe outside because I'm a huge Braylon Allen fan. I'm a big Braylon Allen fan. I would put him way up there as far as players go to watch. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one player in college football to watch to me.
Ooh,
I watch him go up to the line. I watch his feet. I watch his movement when he's running a route and the ball's not even going to him on a running play. That kid is NFL ready. I cannot wait to see what team he goes to. And with receivers nowadays, it used to be so hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they seem to be hitting more than running backs almost,
right,
with the importance of passing in the NFL and everything. I think he's a fascinating, fun player to watch. When it comes to the Badgers, I'm glad this is coming up because I got to see a bit of the game this weekend. And one of the things stood out to me about Tanner Mordecai and about Locke. And I'm curious to Badger fans out there, because I'm a Badger fan, but I'm not I don't pretend to be as diehard as a lot of you guys out there. One thing that I thought right away I noticed with both these young kids, very different than almost every quarterback I've seen in that uniform since, outside of maybe a Russell Wilson and an outlier like that, the quarterbacks look different now. You have a different you not only have a different coaching staff and different scouts, but you're bringing in different kids. And these are ballers. These kids are born to play quarterback. You've seen two. It's not even through the first season yet, so I'm not trying to get overhyped about this yet. But if I'm a Badger fan, one of the biggest issues has always been the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's just getting a guy in there, Jim Sorgi, or somebody who's good, and I would love to have on my team, but I don't know if they can win you a national championship. And I imagine if you're a college football fan of any team, that's the goal, is to get into the playoffs and to win a championship. Fickell is bringing you quarterbacks that might be able to get you that championship.
Mm.
Is that what you see as a Badger fan? Do you see this kid's different than the others?
Well, he's much different than what – I think he's a little bit more accurate than what you just said his name is.
Tanner Mordecai?
Voted. Tanner.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more accurate than he is, a little stronger arm. And he was touted coming out of Texas as a high schooler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was at Mississippi State first, and he transferred, but they were saying that he had so many records in the state of Texas coming out of Texas as a quarterback, he was probably ready to be,
When you're a high school athlete and you have records in Texas, that's saying something. You know, there's some states, it's like Montana. It's like, okay, that's cool, but it's Montana. Like, the way high school football is in Texas, that's saying something. That mm-hmm. really is. Speaking of Texas, how would you, with the Badger situation going from your starting quarterback to your backup, how would you like to be going from Q Evers, one of the more touted quarterbacks in college football right now, going from him to Archie Manning? Archie Manning's the backup there. Like that's a pretty good deal right there in Texas. That's quite a difference. With this kid Locke, to me, what's different is you hit on it actually a little bit. It's the release. It's the look. It's the way they play.
Yeah.
They just seem like a different character. They're cut differently. These kids between Tanner and him, even the kid in seeing the spring game that they had in there. These are different kind of quarterbacks that they're bringing in. I think it's way too early to make too many calls about too many things, but you're trying to bring in a raid offense to the Big Ten. Hey, Big Ten, welcome to the 20th century.
The 20th century.
It's not even 21st.
Yeah.
We're just getting to the 20th here. Iowa football is still like drags you down. Every big team in the Big Ten drags you to their game. Them in Minnesota.
1902, yeah.
God help the people that watch the Minnesota-Iowa game this weekend. I have all
Did I go back in time?
they have to actually play that game with leather helmets. I don't know if people know that or not, but they actually do.
As much as it pains me to say that, though, Minnesota actually got the bad end of the stick on that deal.
Yeah.
Because they said that he did the fair catch. It wasn't a fair,
I think Iowa should have maybe won that game, but either way, I don't know. We only got an hour show. I don't want to spend too much time on Iowa, Minnesota.
Why not?
Right on. When it comes to the Badgers, I think that wins or losses, bowl game or not, you've got a lot to be hopeful for. Mm-hmm. And there's so many cards that need to be turned yet to be able to figure out what's going on here. I don't see a whole lot of concern when it comes to that. Are you feeling any of that? Or are you a little bit, because you seem a little frustrated with the team this year.
Well, I am very frustrated. Because we're so spoiled with having Jim Leonard as a defensive coordinator and having the top defense in the country, I mean, how many years in a row? And then you're seeing, like I said, I was at that Georgia Southern game when Georgia Southern had 300 yards in the first half on offense. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for their quarterback and throwing them out on interceptions, he did. They would have got beat by Georgia Southern.
I wouldn't have left Champaign without Jim Leonard. I would not have left. We're staying. We are not leaving until Jim Leonard comes back to Wisconsin. I don't care if the defensive coordinator's giving me funny looks or not. I'm like, man, you're on thin ice. All right, don't go looking at me. You look down. Jim Leonard's right over there. That's I would have never let him leave Madison. I would have figured it out. Mm-hmm. Now he wanted to leave. He's a grown man. He chose to, and he went. One of the most surprising things in the college football offseason was that he did not only not get a head coaching job, but he had a hard time finding work. It happened late, so maybe there was that. But he's going to have his pick of the litter, I got to think. Mm-hmm. When it comes to somewhere else, I would hope if I'm a Badger fan, he does not stay in Champaign because Bielema's days are numbered, possibly there. And Leonard could easily. Illinois is not Wisconsin. Illinois can stand taking an intern coach and putting him in the head coach position. And hey, let's see what happens. Let's give Jim Leonard his first head coaching job. And oh man, if you are a Wisconsin fan and that's going on in Champaign, I would not want that.
Yeah, I think on the side though, but I still think because they were saying something he was going to have. I mean, I don't think he wanted to coach this fall because they were saying something about he had to have a surgery or something going on. I still wouldn't doubt that he's in the NFL as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
that could very well happen.
I don't think he's going to be a college coach.
Yeah,
much longer. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're going to finally say with the Packers that Joe Barry, it's enough. We need to figure something else out that might get these guys to play. Maybe, I mean, I know they interviewed him once before.
Yep. Should have hired him. Should have hired him.
And, mm-hmm. Well, I think he was kind of turned him down, too, because he was kind of
He did. Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah. I would have offered him. I would have pulled up a truck. And made it.
Dump truck.
It's college football. That's all it takes. These guys can say all they want, and some guys might mean it too. Like especially a guy like Leonard, that's a Wisconsin guy, at the time at UW. But at the same time, it's the Packers, and your biggest hole has been defense since the Roger days. Jim Leonard's probably the great, maybe the arguably when he was here in living here in Wisconsin, maybe the greatest mind of defense in the state. Pull up a truck and get them. I don't understand these teams. NFL team, even the Packers, the smallest franchise in all of sports, has more money than Solomon. Pull up a truck. Get the guy.
Right.
Quit messing around with this and everything. Or lying to your fan bases. And I'm saying that as somebody gets lied to every day by his fan base.
By the ownership.
By his team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, by his team. Yeah, the fan base doesn't lie. The fan base is just clueless. Ohio State this weekend, before we let you go, sir, because we're going to bring in Coach in just a few minutes here. Yeah. I don't know. Let's be honest about this. This is the number three ranked team in the country. This is Ohio State. We know how this usually goes. Can you see this game being close?
If the defense shows up, I think it could be. I think the last time Ohio State was at Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin won that game. Mm. But totally two different teams compared to what was, back when they were there last time. I don't know if it can be, just the way their defense is, I don't think it's going to be close. I really don't. I think Wisconsin is going to have a long day. Mm. And I think as a Badger, I hate to say it as a Badger fan, but they haven't proven anything right now on the defensive end of the football. They haven't really proved anything that they can be a good team on that end. I mean, they might still have to give, like they did this last week. They gave Braylon Allen the ball 30 times. I mean, they might have to do that just to keep Ohio State off the field.
Play some Navy football. You know, play. I think it's Navy has like third in the college football in time of possession or something like that. Them are, and Penn State. Penn State's another one that just hangs on to the ball. Didn't work for him this weekend.
Yeah. No.
You know, you can't figure out how good you are unless you play against the big dogs. So you're going to find out what you got in these players and these teams, and that says something right there. And you know, you got to see how it goes. You go out there and you don't get blown out. I'm saying like a 2-touchdown win or something like that. In today's college football, that looks good. That's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can keep this at 14 points, I think they'll be okay. Even if they lose this week. As bad as the West is, I still think they could win the West.
So that's true.
They could end up seeing you know, either Ohio State or Michigan, you know, in the championship.
I think it's fair to say too. Ohio State hasn't necessarily scared me this year. They're not like in years past. If anything, it's not the kids; it's the coaching staff. Ohio State's coaching staff, if it was coaching staff versus coaching staff, I don't know how many games they'd have won this year. Their coaching staff cannot get out of their own way.
Yeah, that's weird.
Their head coach Day is just one of these weird guys to me that's always looking for, one of those guys that like walks down a busy street and just tries to run into people. Like, and he doesn't actually want to fight. He's just one of these dogs that wants to bark. Like, are you trying to start something? Like, who are you? What are you doing? It just seems like that.
He just randomly goes out and blames Lou Holtz for things. Yeah, you know, that's just like weird.
Like a guy who's going to pick a fight, but with like an 80-year-old man. Let me show how tough I am. Like, what are you doing, man? It should be a good game. That game will be right here at WFHR this weekend.
One quick thing. I know they said it on, I can't remember what, if it was on the Fox Noon kickoff or if it was on ESPN, that, I mean, they put on, after the game, they said they said that, Ohio, that was probably Ohio State's best game that they played against Penn State.
Yep.
Now, Coach Day is on the hot seat, I think, if they lose to Michigan again this year.
Yeah.
He only have one loss, but it could be there in Michigan, and that could be.
With those teams in that series, it could have cost Harbaugh his job. It's certainly going to cost him his job. Ryan Day on the other side, it could cost
Harbaugh
him.
Harbaugh might lose his job for other reasons.
That's very true. We'll be covering that story for sure.
Yeah.
Always appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too. We'll take a break right here, and we'll come back with head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckham, right here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here on WFHR, locally grown radio, 3:24 on the clock. Have your host, James Jay. I'm joined by Seth Habhacker.
Hey, everyone.
And we are joined right now by one of our good friends, a GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul. Thank you so much for being here, sir. How are you doing? Yeah,
thank you. I'm doing great.
Good. We were just talking a little bit in the break about the weekend. Let's go ahead and start right there, Coach. How do you feel the weekend went for the team?
Well, it's always good when you go on the road and you at least get one out of two, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can do that on the road, you got to be happy. Honestly, we should have did better. Mm. I think we could have done better. I think we're a little bit tired, which is good that we got off this weekend. So giving the guys a little bit of a break here is good timing. Listen, we're 8-3-1 in a division, so can't complain about that, right? And you guys are playing pretty well.
I just was checking that out last night, knowing that you were going to be coming in and everything, and got the update at USPHLPremier.com. You can see the standings right there as well. And it's nice to see that. It's nice to see, with this early in the season, especially when the team hasn't really had a chance to play on its home ice, hasn't had a chance to really get its sea legs under them a little bit. That seems good as a fan. From what you're seeing behind the scenes, on the ice, how is that going, the chemistry of the team?
It's good. I mean, and you're right. I mean, we've played 12 games all on the road, you know, and so that's not easy to do. And I think I do that for reasons, because it's a lot of bonding, right? A lot of road trips.
Right.
We go out to the East Coast, go 3-1 out there, right? Which is a big deal compared to last year's showcases. We were 2-10.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden we're off to a good start, and that helps, right? So I like the chemistry. I think we got a great group of guys, and we got more coming. So, you know, I'm not done yet. So.
I'm glad that came up. I was talking to my dad about this, and as a former player, he has an interesting perspective on it, because I brought up, well, the Kings start out their season. This is before the season even started. Talking to him about, you know, well, they're going to be on the road for a couple of, you know, for at least the first half of the season almost and everything. And he's talking about, to me, a lot what you're talking about, the bonding. I thought of the scouting part of it. Mm-hmm. I thought that that's got to be a key part of this too, or at least an added bonus to it, of getting to go to New York, getting to go to these other places, and especially if you're a fan of the Premier League, you went last year and you saw the Kings, and then you see them this year. That's got to be quite the, ooh, that's a team I'm not only going to be paying attention to, I might want my son to play for, I myself might want to play for. Is that part of it too, Coach?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I picked the New Jersey Showcase. Recruiting, right? You got all the schools in the Northeast. We're going to go to Detroit, so we're going to play in front of schools in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. It's all about exposure for these guys, right? So what I do every week is when we come back on Mondays, I email every NCAA college coach and the top 70 ACHA D1 schools. So every week I give them updates on our guys, and as they start filtering back, hey, you know what? We're interested in this guy. We're looking at that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny Leppard, captain last year, is playing this Friday. He's got his home opener in Northland. So we're going to take a road trip up there, and we're going to go watch him and support him all that kind of stuff, right? Because I happen to have a good relationship with that coach. He's interested in a couple of our guys. So let's get him up there, right? Meet the coach, see the campus, all that kind of stuff. It's all this is about his exposure, right? So these guys got to figure it out together and hopefully play well enough to impress somebody and win some games, right? And winning always solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, always, so, always.
Tends to.
That's what this is. That's what it's all about early on. Right.
And you and I have talked on air, off air about scouting before, and it's always been one of the most fascinating parts of sports to me, especially growing up in a hockey family where scouting is everything as far as, you know, the teams you like and following them and how they do. And in this day and age where if you want to see somebody playing in the Ukraine League or the German League or something like that, you find YouTube, you can find a lot of this stuff online. You don't have to travel overseas as much anymore. Yeah. But it's also almost too much information. It's almost too much stuff. And while I'm seeing this, I can cut that and splice that kid's highlight reel all the way I want to, and so you're just seeing the good stuff. I would imagine that the relationships with coaches and teams is even more vital now than it's ever been because of that, to be able to decipher, hey, this kid's tape looks great. Is he a knucklehead? Like, you know, how is this kid, you know, being able to talk to coaches? Is that the way it is?
No question. Yeah. And yesterday, I just watched an entire kid playing up in Eastern Canada, right? Or Northern Ontario League, right? So he's probably going to be coming here. We'll know in a day or two.
Right.
So I watched the whole game, and it happens to be one of our players. Mm-hmm. The best guys to recruit for you are your players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they enjoy it, right, and they're getting the full experience and everything that they were promised is coming to fruition, they're going to tell their buddies. Yeah, the guys that met it went somewhere else, and all of a sudden things aren't working out the way they thought. Then we could, you know, hey, coach, you might want to take a look at this guy. He's interested. Right, well, I get a message, and hey, I'm so-and-so's buddy. I got two guys coming this week. One's coming from the NCDC, Tier 2, right? That is a buddy of one of our goalies, and this kid in Northern Ontario is a buddy of one of our forwards. So just watching them, and I've known about the forward guy from the NCDC. I've known about him last year. I watched him play. So it's just going to add more punch to what we got here. So we'll be all right.
You mentioned the players. You mentioned those goalies. Over the last couple of weeks, our goalies have been highlighted in players of the week. Nice to see that.
All three of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Like I did a double take on that when I was looking at it on the website. I'm like, wait, it was all three. Boom, boom, boom. That was pretty cool.
I tell you what. I mean, we have three good goalies. There's no question about it, but it's the way we play in front of them. Mm-hmm. I think we have a better defense overall. Than just one or two guys last year. So I think that when you look at the goals against, right, it's, I've always been in the top three of my division, and every year I've coached in goals against. And it's just the style that we play, which is, you know, guys making commitment and just being all in, right?
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off there, Coach. I'm sorry, but that's something I've been thinking about since you and I have been talking, and I never really get to it. There's always so many other things for us to talk about. But your coaching style, your team's style, I've heard this before, not just from coaches, from you yourself. You have a style of play that's a little bit different, watching the games, seeing these kids, and bringing in the right kids to fit that formula. How would you describe your style, your team's style of play?
Well, it's defense first, right? I mean, right. It's about being committed and playing well on the defensive side of the puck, whatever zone you're in. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. You have to be structured, right? You can't just be doing all this all the time, right? So it's, and especially in our own zone, there's a specific structure and pattern that we play, and it's not overly complicated. It's just commitment, right? And be dedicated to that. Know your role, whatever position, whether you're the first forward back, or you're the winger, so whatever it may be, where should you be? And that's stuff that come to player meetings starting today. You're watching a video, and then you pause it and you watch, and you see, where are you?
Where should you be, right?
Yeah. So look at this guy. This guy's got an open shot. Why are you over here when you need to be here? So it's all things like that, and it's defense creates offense. We all say it. Defense wins championships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But nobody's willing to be committed to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I stress to these guys, because you can have high flying guys and doing all this flybys, right? But if you don't stop on pucks and win battles, especially in your own zone, you're never going to win anything. Right. So that's what everybody says they want to win championships when you come here. Right. Well, are you willing to put the work in?
Can you go talk to the Wild about that, man? Their goalies are getting killed so far this year.
I happen to know the GM of the Wild.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
God, that's awesome. That's awesome. What a coincidence.
Billy, I actually played against him when I was in Pepsi.
Right. Nice.
A good friend of mine, my mentor, was his coach. So I've been to Billy's house, and we were actually just up there during the off season.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's funny.
But yeah, if you could say something.
Yeah, just say something. You know, he's man. Really moody.
So I had something else come up talking with some fans of the team this year, and really, really excited about taking in that first game this season, which is just 18 days, 4 hours away. Get your tickets for this game and meet us over at the Southland County Rec Center for that one. What it's like to keep the team motivated off the when you're away? It's one thing for a weekend to get away, or a three-game series or something. It seems a little bit more difficult to do this for this stretch of a period of time. Hockey players are different. You know, athletes are different in general, but especially hockey players. It doesn't take much to motivate them. But is there any of that going on with the team? Or did you notice any of that with the team in this stretch and how they've been doing away from home?
Yeah, you have guys that, you know, that have never been away from home, so they get a little homesick. You know, the bug went through the team, so guys have been getting sick. Yeah. You know, you get stuck getting a little injuries. So, yeah, it's you have to have the next man up mentality, right? So that's – sorry. That's why that's right. That happens a lot. But
you can get away with that, sir.
Yeah.
I can't. You can get away with that, man.
You know, that's why we have as many on the roster as we do. Yeah. It's because there's opportunities that are created by guys getting sick, guys getting hurt, doing stupid stuff, whatever it may be, right? Yeah. So you have to stay motivated and you have to stay focused. And we go through a lot of that in our meetings. Because I know where they want to go because they've told me that.
Yeah.
And I've been there.
Yeah.
So I know where you want to go. So there's no days off here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, you do get days off, right? But
no, it's just
you still got to put the work in.
Yeah.
And when the opportunity knocks, you got to take advantage, right? So
As we're wrapping up here, Coach, I want to keep you too long, but I did notice that, as always, year after year, since they've been here, our Kings show up when it comes to Day of Caring Day. It was nice to see that. Appreciate the team being there for Day of Caring and being a part of this community so much. I know what that means to you, and we've talked quite a bit about, you know, it's these kids' character that stands out more than their slap shot, that those are the kind of things that you look for in these players. But when it comes to being involved in the community. Let's go over that one more time for new listeners out there, why that's almost the biggest part of you going into this, taking over this job a year or so ago.
It's very important to me to give back, right? Because a lot of these kids come from a lot of different various environments. And it's, you know, in this kind of community, you're going to get, you know, 10 times more, right? Yeah. than the norm, than where I've been in the past. So it's very important. I want these guys to understand that, you know, you're treated like a pro in this community. You got to act like a pro. The standards are very high here. And I don't pull any punches with that. Mm-hmm. So I want our guys to give back 10 times more, right, than they get. Because I don't want anybody to think that we're taking advantage of anything or anybody here. And, and these kids are so excited to play in front of our fans, right? I mean, they're so looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the motivation, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, now you have people that are spending their hard-earned money to come watch you play. You know, let's put on a show, right? And let's be prepared to put on a good show. So I think that's the biggest thing is I want them, like this morning we were at the Our Lady Queen of Heaven Elementary.
Yeah.
We do gym class there every week, once a week.
Yeah.
And I make sure four different guys go, different guys every time. Mm,
that's awesome.
So everybody gets the experience. And I want to make sure that they're doing what they should be doing. In the right way, in the right manner, and
right on.
Miss Amy loves it, and once again the kids have been good, and that's exactly what's expected, right? The expectation and the standards are here, and I don't deviate from that. And guys know that coming in, like these two new guys coming in. These guys have told them what this is all about.
Yeah.
And if you want to play here, then this is what you're going to be held to. And that's important to me.
Seth is our head of sound production. Cut that up. I want that cut up, that segment right there. That
all
was,
right,
that was perfect, sir. That was perfect. We're going to be playing that during the break, during the games this season. That was
just
awesome.
Just on repeat. Yeah,
that was awesome. That was awesome. You are awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Appreciate
Thank
the time. We'll talk real soon here because we got a season, a home season to kick off. And we're looking forward to doing that. Be sure to get your tickets and find out more information at RiverKingsHockey.com. RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow, great way to keep up on your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Talk soon, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take our last break of the hour. We'll take that, come back, and take some of your phone calls on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers here on WFHR. I mean, it's in the title. I'm sorry. What? Allow myself to introduce myself. I wanted to do that joke so bad. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great, great day out there. We want to thank Coach Peckman for joining us.
Yes.
A lot of fun talking with him today.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Find out more and get your tickets for River Kings Hockey at riverkingshockey.com.
Yeah.
And, of course, be paying attention to our sister station, 105.5, where you can catch River Kings home games in 18 days, 4 hours, 18 minutes, and 17 seconds.
There you go.
I love their website.
You can't say we don't know. We haven't. You've been told now.
Yes.
We know when the season is starting or the home season is starting.
We know exactly when. I want to make sure to touch on two things in the next 20 minutes, Seth. I want to talk about the NBA starting their season.
All right.
So even if it's just briefly, I want to mention that.
Touch on it. Okay.
But since baseball is just going, you know, we have only got a couple of weeks left. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk a little baseball.
All right.
And I'm curious to hear out there how you sports fans are feeling about the season, about the playoffs right now at baseball. Because I know that none of our local teams are in it, not even any of our semi-local teams are in it.
Not even close.
and I know that there are some divisive teams in playoffs right now, but I think over more than any other sport, people are fans. If you're a baseball fan, you tend to be a fan of baseball, not just your team. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how you guys are liking these playoffs. I just, as somebody who, to be honest with you, I only have so much sports bandwidth. I can only take so much.
There's a lot going on.
I'm usually teaching when these games are on. I've been enjoying them, but I'm curious to know how diehard fans are feeling.
Yeah.
Let's find out how you're feeling. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey. Good afternoon.
How's it going, man?
Oh, not too bad. I'm getting ready for the stopwatch whenever the game starts. That's one reason to keep watching the playoffs, I guess. On a baseball note, though, I was going to ask you guys, what do you think about Trevor Bauer? do you think he would be good on the Brewers?
I don't think Trevor Bauer would be good anywhere. I don't think Trevor Bauer is a good human being. I wouldn't. First off, that's never happening. Trevor Bauer's never pitching another baseball in Major League Baseball.
No.
He'll be somewhere in the Santa Juan League if he's lucky. And they'll have him.
Yeah.
Trevor Bauer's a good pitcher. He's still probably got plenty of, he's had a couple of years off.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a good pitcher, but he'll never pitch in Major League Baseball again.
Well, and since the Dodgers released him, they still have to pay him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's still getting that huge contract that he signed with them, so he's not hurting for money. So, but I think James is right. I doubt it. I don't think any team's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Especially if, granted, he's not a bad pitcher.
Yeah.
But every day he's like over 30 this. He's over. I mean, he's not.
And he hasn't pitched in how long?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
When it comes to sports, money and talent will always be king. So if he was 22 and had a ton of talent or something like that, we might have something to talk about. I don't know. You know, sports is all about morals until it, comes time to win.
Until it's not, right? Yeah.
So I don't know. But as far as it goes right now, him in this moment in time, there are a few things that would shock me more than seeing Trevor Bauer in a Major League uniform next season.
Me too.
All right. Well, now that I ruffled your feathers a little bit.
Yeah.
I got something funny for you guys. I think Seth might already have heard of it. But on this day in 1979, Billy Martin, good old Billy Martin, he got in a barroom scuffle with a Minnesota marshmallow salesman and sent him to the hospital.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. And if you had told me a major league manager had done this, that's who my guess would have been. Billy Martin. It would have absolutely been Billy Martin.
There was never a person on the planet that got into more fights that he lost, that he started and then lost, than Billy Martin. Because he was terrible at fighting. He was a small guy. He could never win a fight.
Including with George Steinbrenner.
Yep.
He definitely lost those fights. How many times that guy got fired?
He was a brilliant baseball guy. There's no question about Billy Martin was one of the smartest baseball people of all time. And when he wasn't drinking or on the field, he was one of the nicest guys that you would ever find. On the we've seen the footage of him arguing and screaming and when he's managing or whatever like that. And then when he drank, which was often, he got into fights, and that was his thing. But man, It's sad. It really is. Because he could have done more. I really think he could have been more if he hadn't been for that.
He never won a World Series.
He did. With the Yankees in 77, I think.
That's when he did it first. Yeah.
As a manager, anyway. He won with them as a player, too, in the 50s. But
as long as we got you on the line here, I want to ask you guys in the audience who you got in the World Series. If you got it, you got to decide right.
Oh,
you got to pick right now who you think is going to make it to the World Series. I got Texas and Philly because I want Texas and Philly. I'll be completely honest. I'm not basing this on anything other than I think they're the two hotter teams, and I think that they will go in, but I'm also trying to will this into the universe.
Yep.
Yes, I completely agree with that. It's just to not see the Astros there for a year.
I think we're all ready for that,
That's a great way to put that, too. Just for a year. Just give us a year break, even.
We don't want the Astros
anymore.
That's
a great way to put that.
You've been here long enough.
I mean, at least can we just have a season off? I mean, you can come back next year, Houston, but just give us a year off.
I'm have to agree with you guys. I think Texas is going to win tonight, and I don't know how anyone's going to beat the Phillies in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Their fan base has just they draw this like massive energy from their fans in Philly. And I don't think that the D-backs can counter that. I just don't. So that's my answer as well.
Yeah. I got to say that if you're an Arizona fan, you got to feel pretty good about this season.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what happens. And if you're, if you're a Houston or Texas or a Ranger fan, if you're a Ranger or a Astro fan,
there you go.
I would think the same thing. So, now if you're a Philly fan, though, of course you're insane. And all that matters is winning. And you might not even be happy if they win the World Series. I don't know. I'm not sure. I saw Eagle fans after their Super Bowl angry. I kid you, it's the only time I've ever seen this. They win the Super Bowl and they're talking to fans and everything, and there's one guy complaining about something or another. It was the touchdown that what's his name threw to the caught.
Yeah.
They should have thrown it to the tight end there or something like that, he was saying. Like, they won the game, man. They beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and he's upset. He was upset with the coaching staff. He was talking to coach. Like, yeah, that's their fan base.
Yeah. And then they get to the Flyers now, because the Flyers have got to a good start. Well, the Sixers aren't going to probably do anything this year. But, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. Have a great week.
All right. Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks.
Yeah,
Take care. 424-2600, 714-424-2600. Love to hear your feelings about the baseball season, how you think this is going to go. I'm looking forward to the World Series.
Yes.
I am. Because I think I don't want to see Houston in there, but I think that it's going to be Philly for sure. And Philly, Houston, I'd like to see, you know what, I'm thinking the reason I want to see this is because I just am so in belief of Philly this year.
They've got something, man. They've got something different this year, yeah.
So if it's got to be, if Houston is going in, they don't scare me as as much as like if I was Houston or Texas having to go against Philly, having to go to Philly. I think that almost no matter what, and it's hard to bank on this, especially in baseball and especially what we've seen of the home, quote-unquote home field advantage this year, it's only mattered for that team. Mm-hmm. Home field advantage does not matter for any other team this whole MLB offseason, really.
Jeez, no.
Except for Philly.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me I've got at least three almost guaranteed wins, and I do put guarantee in quotes, I feel pretty good about my chances as a Philly fan.
Right. And so if I'm not... I can't remember their record, so I'm not sure who would have home field. I think either both the Astros and the Rangers would, I believe, because I think they had better records than Philly.
You're right.
I think. But I'm not 100% sure. But like you said, they would have at least three games at Philly if they could, you know, get at least one win from the other team. But, boy, the thing, this great story for tonight, though, for me, is Max Scherzer pitching for the Rangers. Not only because we get to see him again in a big game, which he can step up for games like this.
Yeah.
First, we don't know where he's with the injury or anything like that, but the storyline of him coming to Texas, getting the injury, now coming back for the LCS, and can he do it? That kind of thing. That's cool. I'd love to see him do well tonight.
We romanticize baseball players more than any other sport, but I'm with you 100,000% on this. I was going to say, because I say that because I was going to say the warrior god, Max Scherzer, who the last of the great guys, him and Verlander, the last of the greats. Meanwhile, there's a kid in Miami, Sandy Alcantara, who blew out his arm basically because he's trying to be one of these guys.
Yeah.
There are some, they're just so few nowadays of the nine-inning pitcher, but there are a couple of them out there. The Strider kid in Atlanta.
Yep. Spencer, Strider,
when they allow him to go, like he can go that many. It's just, it's so few far between. I could not agree with you more, man. There's a Monday, there's a Monday Night Football game tonight, and I care more about Mac, because Max Scherzer is starting, I care more about that game than I do about anything else.
Seventh game of the series, too. I mean, it's always fun with the deciding game,
the two best words in sports.
Yep.
Game seven. It's that for a reason. And then, not only that, but you have the legend Max Scherzer. You got a guy who's going to, I mean, during the offseason, he's writing his Hall of Fame speech.
Yep.
Like, he's going in. There's no doubt of that.
Yeah.
So to know all these factors, and I think another interesting part of this, unlike some guys at his age and with his career going going the way it is, he's still under contract for another year and has given no sign that this is like the last
time. That he's going to retire, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that part of this too of like, if he does go out there and does not pitch a good game, there's that storyline for Texas to look that they got to look forward to in the offseason to go along with Jacob deGrom, who is still a Texas Ranger that we all forget about.
We forgot about him.
There's a lot of interesting stuff in Texas and how that bank account is going to look next season. Like, you got to win this. It's shocking to me how far they've come with all the injuries that they've had.
And, you know, that's a great point because, you know, people, the talk before the season was, oh, look at Texas trying to buy a pennant, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, we know this doesn't always work. San Diego, New York Mets. They did the same thing and they failed completely.
Yeah.
But Texas got in there because for whatever reason, I have to give a lot of credit to Bruce Bochy because he's a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
That's the two things that I'm really curious about this year about for Texas. It's mostly Bruce Bochy gets another World Series ring, which would be, he gets into the series. First of all, that'll be three teams that he took to the World Series, which I think is the first manager to do that three teams to the World Series.
I've never heard that before. That wouldn't surprise me. Yes. That was the first time.
And if he wins again, I mean, he's already Hall of Famer, but man, and that and Scherzer, you know, the question, if Texas wins the World Series, does Scherzer say, I'm riding out in the sunset now? He's like, I've got everything I want. I'm just going to say, yep, that's it. I'm going to be done. So I'd be curious. Yeah.
I would, but I grew up in a house where one of the everybody's favorite stories is Jim Brown retiring, you know, on the set of the Dirty Dozen. So to me, going out on top, if I was an athlete, it wouldn't even question it. Mm-hmm. The moment, the day that I'm like over 30 and I'm feeling my 40 time is a couple tenths small, I'm leaving. I'm out.
Wow.
I can't imagine what it is like. I want to also make this very serious. I growing up with athletes and everything, I don't know what that's like. I'm in a field. I'm in a job where whether it's acting or radio or whatever, I can do this as long as they'll have me. And I'm going to. I am definitely going to. But I will say this, as far as acting goes, the day I can't memorize lines, you'll never see me act again. I've worked with people like that, and I wouldn't do that to other actors. That's where it becomes about you.
Yeah.
That's where it's about your ego. And miss me with that. You don't belong on a stage any more than you belong on a field or a court if it's about you. Which of course, plenty of athletes and actors are. So what do I know? But
well, and you know, there's the argument about, do you go out on top or do you go out until you give in every last ounce?
Yeah.
You know, that's the big debate. You know, for me, it's interesting because I hear what you're saying. You know, about, I find I'm at that moment. It's like, you know, I can't, like Joe DiMaggio saying, I can't be Joe DiMaggio anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why I retired. Okay, I get that, you know, and that makes a lot of sense to me. But at the same time, it makes me wonder. Mm. David Ortiz retired the year after he led the league in home runs.
Yeah.
What else? Could he have done more? I mean, did he have more in the tank? We'll never know now. But
Pujols this season,
yeah,
you know, or was it last season?
Last season. 2022 was his last year.
Where he goes out with like having a banger year and everything. Yeah. It's
Mike Mussina won 20 games in his last year, and he's like, no, I'm done, kind of thing. It's like, wow, what would have happened?
You know? Well, and you've got me looking at a different angle of this too, because I've always thought about it as, well, the moment I can't do the game the same, I'm letting down my fans, I'm letting down my teammates, and so I don't belong out there. But the idea of, you know, well, I still have something to offer, like Vince Carter staying in the game and being a backup player and the 12th guy on an NBA bench just so he could give knowledge to other players and stuff. There's something to be said for that too.
And I can go back to Joe DiMaggio on this one, because he had something that's very similar on the other side. He's like, they asked him later in his career why he was playing so hard even though he knew he couldn't be it to that level, and he said, because there might be someone out there who's never seen me play. He knew who he was.
That's good.
You know, cool. He knew he was a popular player, so he wanted to give it. So if that one kid got to see, you know, I got to see Joe DiMaggio play like Joe DiMaggio. So it's the eternal debate. It will never be settled.
But you know, that quote by DiMaggio you mentioned there kind of almost pushes me on the other side. I have to be honest. I know that's not what you're supposed to do in sports radio. I'm supposed to
like
have
change your mind.
Yeah, I'm supposed to have a take and never bend on it, no matter what facts are thrown at me. But
we are a different kind of sports show.
We definitely
here.
Are.
We are very different.
We're different, all right. That's our wheelhouse. NBA season starting tomorrow. Looking forward to this. I make no bones about this. I'm a diehard b-ball fan, and especially this year when the Milwaukee Bucks have the biggest storyline going in basketball. I'm going to put that out there. I believe that's true. I do have no facts to necessarily base that up other than recent history.
Yep.
But I do think that it's pretty – also, if it ain't the number one, it's the number two storyline. Dame Lillard and Giannis teaming up, seeing what happens here. I'm curious to know, how the fans out there are thinking of the NBA season. I would say this. I don't know that Wisconsin is necessarily thought of as a basketball state, in a state that loves basketball.
Not really, no.
Especially when you've got Indiana, you know, some hours away that isn't, you know, basketball state.
Illinois, to a certain extent, too,
I would say. I think that Illinois is a basketball state above many other sports, any other reason than the run of the Chicago Bulls and all that.
Oh, right, yeah.
You have generation after generation growing up with that. It creates quite a few ball heads. I'm one of them.
You had some great teams in Champaign as well. Oh, you got to put those up there, too.
Some great Illini teams, man. And some great players coming out of the city of Chicago that didn't even play for these teams, like an Anthony Davis or somebody like that. All that being said, Wisconsin is still very supportive of their Bucks and loves this team, and they were doing that before Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen how they fall out, you know, the Deer District and these things.
Yep.
And again, that was before Dame got here.
Yes.
I'm very curious to see how this plays out now. We only got like a minute or so, so you're gonna have to be quick. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Hey, you guys just made me think of something. Do they have a show in the NBA that is similar to Hard Knocks? And do you think that would be a good idea? I'll let you go.
Good idea. Good Ooh, idea. Very good yeah. idea, man. Nice job, Matt in the hat. Yes on all accounts. Oh, no. Yes. No, they do not. And yes, it would work.
That would be fascinating.
It may even be better. Actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, it would be better. I'll go out on that limb and say that it would be better. NBA players are a little more talkative. They're a little bit different.
I was going to ask, you know, is there one sport that has more entertaining players in terms of, you know, talking and stuff like that? Because I think you're right. The NBA would be interesting.
You got guys on the bottom of the roster on that last mm-hmm. seat that they're there just for handshakes. Like, what's that guy got to say? Yeah, he's got a lot to say, man. And they're nothing but talkers in the NBA.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, two of the biggest trash talkers in the world. You look at them, you're like, no.
They look like seem like such quiet guys,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
But no, we find out after NBA days, they are two of the worst. I did want to touch on some local things very fast. State cross country meet this weekend in Wisconsin Rapids. Ooh. It is going on this Saturday at the Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids, the 50th annual girls cross country championship. Take in this game if you can. Support our local athletes.
Awesome.
And a big shout out to the Ridges. And of course, great stuff on our radio. We got sports all week long here.
We do.
Tomorrow, Wisconsin Hockey Hour at 7:05. Wednesday, Luke Fickell's show at 7:05. Thursday, Wisconsin hockey at Minnesota. In back-to-back days there, Thursday and Friday, that series will be taking place in Minnesota.
That's always a showcase. Yeah,
that is going to be such a good set of games. And then on Saturday, Wisconsin football hosting Ohio State at 4:30. Our pregame kicks off right here at WFHO.
Another big game. Woo!
Thanks to Coach Peckham for joining us.
Yep.
Thank you, Seth, for pitch hitting.
Not a problem.
We'll be back next week with more right here at... Oh, Kat, you say it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.